Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weed Day Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EasyMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
Well, good morning and welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody.
Good morning, everybody. How are you out there?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't even have my sound effects ready or anything.
It's all right.
It's cool fun, though. We've got to have sound effects.
It's true.
Got to have them. So, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday.
Your host, Bellstar, and the Cannabis Kid.
How's it going?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully.
It's been quite a busy week.
I feel like we haven't stopped. Like, we just... We had a weekend, and we had a book signing, we had a cannabis summit, we had all sorts of things going on this weekend that we're going to chat about. Yeah, it is a good morning. Hope all y'all are out there doing well and swelling groovy.
Did you say smelling groovy?
Swelling groovy.
Swelling groovy.
But if you're smelling groovy...
I want you to smell groovy, too.
You could smell groovy, too. We'll accept that, too. You don't want to be hanging out with people and someone's like, oh, what's that smell?
You don't
it's
smell
not
very
groovy. Yeah. We need the groovy smell.
We have a lot to talk about on this show today.
We do. We have
a lot of stuff.
Some bong hits to take.
Bellstar and the Cannabis Kid and a couple of their close honchos headed up to Phoenix on Sunday morning. Mesa for that part. And we enjoyed ourselves thoroughly at the Cannabis Summit, which was held at the Mesa Arts Theater in downtown Mesa.
Science of Cannabis Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was at Piper Theater, Mesa, Arizona, in between Bong Hits, excuse us. Good morning to everybody. That was a really great. I think I've got to hold up the agenda and speakers. Let's just go through and just talk about it real quick because it's really cool. And it's so, like, it's invigorating to go to anything that has to do with people gathering about cannabis, because you just get pumped up again. You get excited. Your ideas start flowing.
Well, not to mention there's so many things that are coming out every week new about this plant. You know, we have new law reform in every single state. Things are changing. This
is all
due to people coming forward and saying, I don't like the way that looks. And this is a medicine for me. It's a medicine for the people. And these laws don't apply for the way that I want to use this medication. So I think what we're seeing, I have a couple articles on Oregon. They went ahead and are adopting some new things.
So is Texas. Did you see that?
Texas.
Hook them home.
We're almost, you know, once these last few, it's not going to be the last, but once these few come on board, we're going to look at being over half of the nation is ready for cannabis, or are already using cannabis in their states.
Yeah.
Over half.
Over half. Right now we've got 23 states in D.C., so we push forward, you know, Texas and a couple others.
Right.
We got this.
That's what I'm saying.
We got this. The Science of Cannabis Summit was Sunday, and if you missed it, we're just going to do a little recap of what we got. Yeah. You're thrilled. Well, from Tumbleweeds Health Center, one of the owners got up and terrified herself on stage for a few moments. It was actually really great. It was the history of cannabis. And if you don't know the history of cannabis, holy cow.
There's a history of donuts right there.
Cannabis donuts coming up here. ooh, look at all these fun things. We got a tweet from our Silver Sister about a price. Say that 70 times, Cindy Brady, without your lisp. I fell seashells by the seashore. Who knows that? Who of my bloggers are laughing out there going, oh, my God, what is she even talking about?
Yeah, because we were talking about the cannabis.
We were. So the history of cannabis, have a donut. The history of cannabis was presented by Tumbleweed Health Center. And then we went on to Cannabis Therapy by William Jameson. And then we were unlocking the therapeutic properties of cannabis
with our very own
with
Dr.
Zach. Woo! Yeah. That we had on the show.
Now this was one of the ones
that
actually.
What a nice guy. Let me just say.
Oh, yes.
C4 Labs. What a group of great people.
Uh-huh.
All of them. Zach, Sean, all the guys that we met, like a 100 of them there. They were great in their little black shirts with their purple logos, which are my favorite colors, black and purple guys. But yeah, that was awesome. And then we went on to, we'll give a little description, Mal. Our friend who was doing the book signing at Tumbleweed Health Center on Saturday, which was wonderful. Regina Nelson talked about the children of cannabis, and there was not a dry eye in the audience. We got to hear about concentrates from Adam Jack and PTSD and cannabis. And we had narcotics versus cannabinoids, and then a final presentation on the future of cannabis. So it was awesome to see so many people gather for the study of and the science of cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need this. We need, and whether or not we knew them or we didn't know them, the fact that they were there was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Good little turnout.
Great information. It's
great place.
Anytime, yeah.
Nice
great
theater.
Place. Very nice theater.
Thanks for the snacks, too, guys. Those were awesome. Joseph, thanks for putting this on.
Yes,
everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Science of Cannabis Summit who put this on. And I promise my history speech will be better. I won't even need to read it. And we're going around the country with this thing. Seriously. This is only going to get longer. It's only going to get longer. That's right, folks.
That history is going.
We went from a 20 to a 45-minute presentation overnight. And we're going around the country with it. You know why? Because people came up to me after the presentation and said, I mean, they went up to the owner of Tumbleweed, and they said, I had no idea our history was that way. No idea. That until 1941, most of us had cannabis in our cabinets in the bathroom. We had it in our pharmaceutical bottles.
I'd love to find one of those bottles.
We're going to get some. Eli Lilly. That's who was making our cannabis out there.
Mm-hmm.
A third. And it was in the America Pharmacopoeia until 1941. It's crazy. We were using this. We loved it. And then it got a name change, and we went, wait a minute, we don't know that. We know this, but we don't know that. We know cannabis. We don't know marijuana. We know to drink it. We don't know to smoke it. So that can't be right, right? And there you have it. Okay, and
a little bit of money. You know, the two worlds are combining. It is a very ritualistic part of recreational, like, of
absolutely.
Different. So it's traditional.
Each culture has its
each
own
culture has
use
it, and it's
of cannabis.
Been used in that way for so many years in different parts of the world. And just because it wasn't ever.
And what
ever,
we're referring to, folks, is in 1910 when the Mexican Revolution happened and people started coming up. Mexicans started coming up to the southern states for better economy and jobs and land, right on. They brought marijuana, quote. But they were using it in different forms, and we didn't know they were smoking it. They had hashish, and they were using it to relax.
Mm-hmm.
After they worked hard all day long in the fields as laborers, they were using it as anti-inflammatories, but they were also using it for fun. They didn't need a little beer or a glass of wine. They wanted a toke on their joint, and that was good for them. So
we all know it's better than that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So you know. There you have it. It was just a miscommunication and a little bit of money. Wink, wink. We'll just say a little bit of DuPont.
It was a really well done history of cannabis. I think a lot of people learned a lot, and I know I got a ton of stuff out of it. And
researching this,
I know we're going to be actually working that into a couple of our radio shows throughout.
We will.
Now it is a piece of really, really, really nicely done.
It's great history from 8,000 BC until now. You know, it's only been prohibited for the last.
And it really got really interesting about 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the politics and the switching over.
Yeah, well, it really
was
money.
It really was.
Everybody had everything set up in this country already. They didn't want to do, you know, go and buy, you know, hemp machines and this, that, and the other thing when the papers were already running and pharmacies were already running and all that good stuff. So there's a little bit of power to play. Anslinger, did you know Harry J. Anslinger is actually the nephew of the DuPont family? Is that right? Yeah, he's a direct heir. So, go figure. All right, we'll do History 101 next time. Let's get through here. We went down to William Jameson from 420patients.com. Talked about all various sources of cannabis use and just talked about marijuana, cannabis, how they're using it therapeutically in Arizona and how he's come from a long history of growing himself for 30 years or so. He's been a grower all over when it wasn't even legal. Who hasn't really? So, yeah, he talked about that experience and helping patients and just various things he's done in the cannabis community. Very interesting topics because they were only 20 minutes. Well, mine was probably like 22. Who knows? I was so nervous I got off it.
A lot of it, there was so much to say about it that they had to compact into that 20 minutes. And everyone did an awesome job getting as much stuff in as they possibly could. What was great was at the end, reach out and talk to them. If you didn't get to talk to them between...
I missed the concentrate guy on that panel, though. Man, I had a bazillion questions for that guy. We're going to get him on our show anyway.
That's going to be great.
We're
going
to get all these people on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get all these people from the summit on the show, and we'll talk to Joseph and find out what's going on. But, I wanted to talk to the concentrate guy really badly. In fact, we came back from lunch, and he was already into his speech, and I was so disappointed. There was no, dinner bell.
Right.
Ding, 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 round up, kids.
And we
or
didn't
I
miss very
it.
Much.
I missed the dinner bell.
It very first started right when we walked in. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
so that's what I asked Regina Nelson if we had missed anything, and she said no.
No.
He just started, and so.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Because
and I think if we registered for the summit, there's something that we actually get to go to. I think it was taped, and we get
a viewing
of that,
which
is really nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Because when we signed up, we get to look at that.
Wonderful. That's great.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good. Science, unlocking the therapeutic properties of cannabis, which I need right now. This was deep. Talk about deep.
I'm scared.
I'm very scared. This. All right, then. Looks like our show got. All right. Well, we're back. In case we rambled for a half an hour without even knowing.
I hope not.
Yeah. Oh, see, no sound. Let me refresh. All right. Are we on? Netherlands, are you with us? Because if the Netherlands aren't here, we should just go home.
Oh, what a wild day.
It's a wild ride. All right. Well, back to the molecular structures of cannabis, because C4 Labs did a really good job. It's really deep, though, presenting about really matching up your ailment to the kind of cannabis you need, because right now it's a guessing game for anybody. You know, I know particularly what strains I like, what makes me feel good, what makes my
but
body
feel
good.
You've been at it a while, right?
A little while.
And you kind of journaled your way to what makes you feel good.
I make sure to write down the ones that I like because
Belle, you can write a story. It's called Belle's Ways to Make You Feel Good.
It's
Cannabis Journey.
Ben Bell can't. Belle?
No. No. No, Ben Bell.
Oh, no, Ben. Belle's Cannabis.
Belle's Cannabis.
We'll get there. Anyway, it was deep. Oh,
but when I'm,
we got sound.
Oh, good.
Oh,
so what I'm saying is making sure that you're, it does take a while, and knowing, we're learning so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's terpenes now that are involved, which have a full array of effects.
They've
on
always been involved. We're just learning
about them. We're just learning about them.
Right.
That's what I mean. They're now involved. Like, for us, as a third party, as humans, terpenes, cannabinoids, we're all in the room together, and we're all like, hey, how are you guys going to help me out?
We're just best friends as like a bunch of yayas.
So we're finding different ways that these different plant chemicals are just unlocking different things in our bodies.
Waiting to see if my best friend is going to ever come around and get her little card. We'll get her a card. She's got some mail that's going on right now she could use it for. Mm-hmm. And I have the particular strain that I told her mom, love you, Mrs. Allen. told her mom that she should try this. It's called Lemon Skunk because her mom liked a little glass of wine, but they used to water it down. It was really cute. So it was like half wine, half water. So sweet. And I told her this would be just like your little watered down glass of wine. It would have been the same thing without the wine because after a while she couldn't breathe that anymore.
Yeah.
So that was hard. You really can't enjoy the things you love. But we love you, Mrs. Allen, Mr. Allen. All right. So back to C4. The conference was awesome. After that, little to everybody's surprise, we were grabbing napkins, tissues, paper towels, crying. The Children of Cannabis presentation was just awesome, and it really was that presentation on.
If you guys ever get a chance to see Regina Nelson speak,
look her
just
up.
About what her and Mark Patterson are doing up in Colorado Springs and the surrounding areas, please, please look her up. They are doing some incredible things with some children, and the seizure with seizure ailments, and it really will change your mind about how this plant works.
Gosh. Yeah, with these little kids, and they showed not only families that were being really helped by this, but families that couldn't use it and were suffering because they just didn't have access to it,
right.
Which is the hard part, which is why all across the country we're trying to change these laws. To get people out there to open up about it. She has, you know, experience in her own family that she talked about. But
yes.
It's incredible what's happening right now. And I know that not every program is perfect, but at least people are getting access to programs, you know, out there in the country.
Yes.
We've got 24 states right on.
And the more are coming.
Yeah, more are coming. It's happening. We've got some news, too. Let's see. Concentrates. Midday refresher. Concentrates revealed. Shatter, wax, butter, crumble. The new world of concentrates for us. It's been used, though. I mean, I think concentrates have probably been around for a while, at least in hashish form. They've been doing it that way. Just been making water hash and things like that for probably thousands of years.
Right. Well, because that
that's
was
their
the
primary
only
form of using it, that exists. So what do you think? What did you think about the concentrates review?
I enjoyed that one. We walked in, like probably about 5 minutes in, and what I got out of it was just there were so many different ways, and he even came down to the safest way of saying it was the water, just the natural way of getting everything off of it, which makes it the cleanest and the best used. And the highest, it was very similar to doing even the CO2. They were at both ends of the spectrum.
You know what touched me? You said the word.
RHS. Resin.
That's
in my notes.
Yeah. But what touched me was the fact that there are so many people out there that are going and buying non-medical grade products to filter their cannabis through. Like they're going and getting camping butane. You know, and other chemicals that should not be in the pure chemical you're using to extract your concentrate. They were talking about Rick Simpson oil and how he uses a chemical, and all you hear, maybe we've got a blogger out there that's a chemical guy, geek girl, that wants to tell me what the starts with an N that Rick Simpson uses, the particular oil. But in Canada, it's very pure, very clean. Not so in the United States. So when people are processing their RSO oil, he was saying, you've got to make sure it's a certain type of this chemical to extract it with, because oftentimes people are using, you know, camping butane, and they're trying to do stuff, and they're blowing up houses, or, you know, you're ingesting that stuff into your lungs, into your body, and
right.
If you're already compromised, if you're using this to heal, and you're bringing something in that's not, you know, that's toxic, that's not a good thing.
Right.
Yeah, so it was just interesting to hear him talk about the different types, and I really like, we would love to invite you on our show because it was, you know, Mr. Adam from the Growers Guild in Oregon. We would love to have him on our show. So you're invited. Please come on to check it out. You're all invited on.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a date and get you on Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. But concentrates, I really would like to just sit down and ask some one-on-one questions, and I, too, would have liked to see some sort of extraction machine up there, whether it was small or heck, roll it out, man. Let's see that big old thing you've got in that, your garage there, that big old shiny tin can of thing. Let's see it. I saw some at the cannabis cups. They were amazing. It looked like, I don't know, a crazy machine.
It was
a crazy extractor, and it looked like it cost $50,000, $100,000. These machines are very, very, very expensive, and that's the other thing he said. For quality, you know, you don't have to spend maybe $100,000, but you want to chunk down some money on a nice extractor, like our friends do. You know what I'm saying? Don't go cheap on this stuff. Like my dad said, get what you pay for.
It's true.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I was looking at extractors the other day, and it was pretty cool. And
they're pretty expensive.
And they are pretty expensive. But when they start talking about what this actually does and the products that you can get from, and this is, yes, a lot. No, not everyone should go out and buy this, right? I'm not.
No,
this is something that knowing what the places where you're getting your extractions from, what goes through this. I mean, at least know how your product is made, you know?
Yeah, and he also explained that, you know, while there are a lot of people out there just doing the dabs and stuff for fun, a lot of patients are using this for acute pain. So when you've got, like, severe migraines or stage 4 cancer or whatever, you've got that super severe and super painful and Crohn's or whatever, and you want to attack it fast and hard and concentrate, we'll do that because it's very, very, very high in THC as well.
So it goes straight to the point.
Yeah.
Takes care of what it needs to be done, and it really is meant to lay you out. I mean, that's exactly what it's supposed to be doing. So just taking these kinds of medications into perspective and how people should start treating them. I mean, there's the recreational side, and I see that, but with the education, you know, we definitely need to educate people.
Yeah. Why they're used, how they're made, and discuss the safety. That was a big thing. People are not, get out of the camping butane aisle, people.
Yeah.
Come on, don't put that in your body. You don't, just spray it in then.
Right.
No, don't do that. Where are we? All right, PTSD and cannabis. That's something that was just approved for Arizona just this January, and not just for veterans. People of all walks of life have experienced very, very, very traumatic situations in their life that bring about post-traumatic stress.
Now, if you are thinking of seeing your doctor about post-traumatic stress, I mean, there's some things that you need to know and that are going on in your life. Well, you have severe depression, outrageous, sometimes uncontrollable, panic attacks, which you might think are something else, but this is what a panic attack feels like. A lot of people look up panic attacks and see if any of those, you know, things are feeling like they're happening to you. Flashbacks,
sleepless nights, bad nightmares.
If you're having, any time that you're having trouble sleeping and you just, there's definitely something you need to, like, look into. So talk to your doctor about all of these things and take your different options. There's medications out there, and there's also cannabis out there, but there's different forms of cannabis. You do not have to smoke it. It could be a tincture under your tongue before you go to bed at night. It could be a gummy bear, a medicated apricot. These are things that you would have normally thought when you're taking this plant. It will help you, and if taking it in this form helps you even more, digestion is very important. By eating it, it gets into your bloodstream at a certain level of what your body can handle. Some people, you know, not everyone is going to be smoking.
And this is what this whole conference touched on, was a lot of, you know, the different options that there are. And you touched on something, well, two things very important, but we talked about being honest with our physicians out there. It's really important that, for one thing, if you're being honest with your physician about whether or not you are taking the meds that they're prescribing, that's probably a good idea, because I've been prescribed a lot of meds and I'll just flat out tell them I'm not going to take them. Or if I am going to take them, it's going to be an extremely small dose and only if I have to. And I don't, that's not really, that's like 99.99% of the time, forget it.
Right.
But I do tell them I'm using cannabis in various forms. Mm-hmm. Lotion, balm, smoking, tincture, juicing. So I do various kinds of it to get it in there. But you touched on something. There was a lady out in the audience that had stage 4 cancer and told her doctor that she was using cannabis. And we applauded that because it's very helpful, not only that her doctor knows that, but if it's working, usually most of the times, a lot of time it works a lot, and the doctors need to know what's working. I've stopped using the pharmaceuticals, but hey, I'm juicing this plant, and check out what's happening. Check out my levels or whatever are going up or down in the right way, you know. And what are you doing? Oh, I'm juicing cannabis. Oh, I'm using a tincture. Oh, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. You know,
I'm getting some kind of cannabinoids into my system.
And if it doesn't work for you, that's fine too. But what we're just saying is be honest with the people that are trying to help you heal. You know, and it's hard though because people are afraid that they're going to get dropped out of their programs and they're going to get their meds cut off. And here in Arizona, they actually made a statute, a revised statute, saying doctors can't really do that. It's illegal. So
good. Well, let's make sure that people out there are understanding that there is a statute that is out there.
I'll tell you what it is in just a second, but it is a good one. Yeah.
That keeps your doctor from dropping you from a program.
Yep. And it's the 36-2813, discrimination prohibited. And it says, for the purposes of medical care, including organ transplants, a registered qualifying patient's authorized use of marijuana must be considered the equivalent of the use of any other medication under the direction of a physician and does not constitute the use of an illicit substance or otherwise disqualify a registered qualifying patient from medical care. And that's all I have to say about that. Amen. And mm-hmm. Arizona State came up with that.
That's
because
awesome.
When we first started certifying patients, almost 4 years ago at Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, come on down. People were getting dropped from their doctors, and they were stopping their meds. Like, just like that, left and right, boom, boom, you're done, you're out. And you can't do that to a patient. That can be deadly, right? That can be deadly.
You're putting people on, look at that.
Well, and they made one for schools and landlords and employers and...
But where can they find this information?
Well, it's on our website, I believe. If not, it will be posted. It'll be posted soon, but check it out. Can I... If I try and post it on this, it's really funny. It tells me to slow down, quit typing so fast. So I'm going to put this little blurb here, and you guys will be able to just look that up online. 36-2813, discrimination prohibited here in Arizona. But you know what isn't prohibited?
The song.
What up? I got some good pop. I'm just pumped up. Got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge. It used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high. Looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? DeVille cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. I'm gonna smoke some weed,
you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plants illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a run, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hun, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
Welcome back to Weed Day Wednesday. Sitting here next to the biggest sissy I know.
Hey, I was gonna let's do
them all. Oh man. Oh, cute socks. We've got pot socks on, which you could buy at Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. That's the Rastafari color, which we sold out of, sorry, but there are some other cute colors. Black and purple, pink and gray, blue and white. Even red and white. Come get some Arizona colors. Yes. Red, white, and blue. For our country. All right. Countries on weed. Welcome back to Weed Day Wednesday. We're chatting it up. All right.
She's Belstar.
You're Belstar and Cannabis Kid. And we're live. And this is exactly what happened. Let's go do some news. Around the world news. All right. Check it out. House okays the cannabis oil in victory for marijuana advocates. Austin, Texas. Marijuana supporters are on the brink of a small victory they say is nonetheless significant in the conservative Texas legislature. The Republican-controlled House on Monday approved legalizing trace amounts of marijuana plant extract for medicinal purposes. The cannabis oil wouldn't produce the high associated with other parts of marijuana. Parents of children with intractable epilepsy have pleaded with lawmakers all session, saying the oil helps control seizures. A doctor would have to provide a prescription if the law is signed by Republican Governor Greg Abbott. Since current Texas law doesn't allow any form of medical marijuana, advocates say this has been their most successful Texas legislative session in history. Other proposals to decriminalize marijuana penalties are unlikely to pass, but made notable progress after years of being silent. The Lord, go Texas, right on.
You know, I never would have thought.
Who thunk? Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk?
Well, you know what? You know who did thunk it? Actor Morgan Freeman voices pro-marijuana views. In a recent interview, Morgan Freeman, the 77-year-old Oscar winner, spoke candidly about his marijuana use and his stance on legalization. He said, "Marijuana has many useful uses. I have fibromyalgia pain in this arm, and the only thing that offers any relief is marijuana. They're talking about kids who have grand mal seizures, and they've discovered that marijuana eases that down to where these children can have a life. That right there, to me, says legalize it across the board." Right on. In addition to touting all the medical benefits of marijuana, Freeman also pointed out that negative effects of marijuana are rare and other legal substances are much more dangerous to society. Now, the thrust is understanding that alcohol has no real medicinal use, he said. Maybe if you have one drink, it'll quiet you down, but two or three and... pardon, folks, but you're fucked. Look at Woodstock, 1969. They said, "We're not going to bother them or say anything about smoking marijuana, and not one problem or fight." And then look what happened in 99. The actor's own experience with marijuana led back to 2008 when a car accident left him with shattered bones in his arm. He found that marijuana effectively alleviated his pain and has since been an outspoken advocate of legalization. They used to say, you smoke that stuff, boy, you get hooked. Freeman chuckled. My first wife got me into many years ago. How do I take it? However it comes. I'll eat it, drink it, smoke it, snort it, he says. All right.
Wow.
Way to go, Morgan Freeman.
Very nice.
Right on.
See, he's definitely one of the activists out in people. Like, if you don't know who Morgan Freeman is, then you've been living under a rock for the last
77 years. Okay, maybe the last 50 since he's... At least probably been in the screen since he was little.
Well, his mom and dad knew him.
Duh. Look him up. What you got there?
We got Oregon State Committee approves harmful medical marijuana bill.
Woo!
The Oregon Senate Special Committee on
implementing
Measure 91 voted tonight on Senate Bill 964. The bill was approved unanimously and sent to the Senate for full vote. The bill will make a huge change to the Oregon's medical marijuana program, OMMP, if it becomes law. Among some of the scary language in the bill was Section 6 states that all medical marijuana growers have it to submit to a report monthly to Oregon health authorities, which state in the number of mature and immature plants. The amount of marijuana leaves the flowering, being dried, and the amount of usable marijuana in person's possession, as well as the number of mature and mature plants, and the amount of usable marijuana. The person that the person transfers to each registry identification card holder for whom the persons produce marijuana. The report also has to contain the amount of usable marijuana the persons transfer to each marijuana possession site and to each medical marijuana dispensary.
They're keeping serious track. So you can't have a personal grow and sell to other patients. They want to know exactly what you're selling and how much you're selling. Holy cow. Section 7 deals with new growth site limits. The section states that if a grow site is located within city limits, there's a cap of 12 mature plants maximum, regardless of how many patients have registered there. If the grow site was registered prior to January 1st, 2015, it could be grandfathered in but not exceed 24 marijuana plants. The cap on new gardens that are located outside of city limits would be 48 mature plants, regardless of the amount of patients. If the grow site was registered prior to 2015, that could be grandfathered in but not to exceed 96 mature plants. Section 70 states, the governing body of a city or county may adopt ordinance that prohibit the establishment of medical marijuana dispensaries or marijuana processing sites in the area subject to the jurisdiction of the county or city.
Hmm.
Holy cow.
The committee is supposed to be working on the making rules related to the Oregon Measure 91, but instead has spent most of its time trying to attack the OMMP. Oregon voters approved Oregon Measure 91, which stated no less than three times the OMMP should remain the same, regardless of what the rules are made up for recreational marijuana. The fact that five Oregon politicians today voted to go against the will of the voters does not set well with Measure 91's chief petitioner, Anthony Johnson, per cone six. It's important to have the will of the voters implemented, Johnson said. There is a frustration and I wish the legislature would have just tackled some of the basics. The only exacerbate the black market and really hurt patients who depend on safe access through the state's regulated facilities. If you haven't contacted your Oregon senator, now is the time to do so. If you have already contacted your Oregon, do this. So this, we'll go ahead and put this up on
Facebook.
Yeah. There. So go ahead and check it out if you want to get involved.
Wow. Some serious limitations there. Holy cow. Those are odd. But I wonder if, well, talk about that later. We have another story. That it's just interesting to see what each state is doing with these laws and rules. 12 plants for an unlimited amount of patients, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be enough. You know? Not very much. 12 plants? Not a lot, folks. And 48 if you're on the outskirts of the city. But if your grandfather didn't before January 1st, kind of scored on the 96 plant rule if you're outside the city limits.
Hopefully there's enough people out there that can provide medicine for
you. Yeah, and that's just it. We will see. Wow.
I hope they kept that in mind.
Well, there's a community that's begging to keep a 59-year-old cannabis supplier out of jail. 37 NACE residents write to judge imploring woman be kept in the community. Close to 40 members of a central Otago community wrote to a judge imploring him to keep a 59-year-old woman who was supplying locals with cannabis out of jail. Judge Stephen Coyle sentenced Denise Lorraine Barnett to 350 hours of community work and 12-month supervision on three charges relating to possession and cultivation of cannabis and possession of a pipe for consumption of cannabis in the Alexandra District Court Tuesday. On February 7th, police executed a search warrant at her home and discovered 50 healthy and mature cannabis plants as well as 3.5 kilos of cannabis inside two large rubbish bags and a suitcase. Lawyer Kieran Tohill described the woman who sat hunched over in front of the judge in a wheelchair as an electric hoarder who had the support of the community. Tohill told the judge 37 community members from all walks of life had signed a letter imploring the judge to keep Barnett in the community, saying they did not need protection from her. The community wrote Barnett needed their support. Barnett had a troubled background. As a young person, she was institutionalized at Cherry Farm, after which she lived on the street, and in 1989 shifted to Naseby, where she had been ever since, gaining the trust of the community and participating in volunteer work. Judge Coyle said that Barnett was clearly a local icon for the Naseby community in central Otago. Despite your troubled background, you've clearly become a popular member of that community. I accept you are an important and valued member of the community, but eccentricity, in my view, doesn't not detract from the seriousness of your offending. You acknowledge you also supply cannabis to friends at times. You give it away at other times, you sell it, but you have said rather than keeping the money yourself, you donate it. The offending was not opportunistic, and she said, had been supplying cannabis to an underground cannabis culture within the Naseby community for a lengthy time. 50 plants is not insignificant. The court needs to send a clear message to members of the community cannot grow cannabis to this extent and supply the local community no matter how cute and endearing the supplier is. However, the judge said, he recognized the court at times had to act humanely in recognition of those who come before the court. The Court of Justice also needs to be a court of humanity. You are elderly, you are clearly unwell, and indeed today you are present in a wheelchair, such is the extent of your ill health. A sentence of imprisonment would be cruel and harsh. Wow, so they were able to keep her out of jail. That's intense for the cannabis world, guys. That says a lot. New Zealand? Peninsula. I don't know. We're trying to find out this exact story.
I know that there's a lot of countries with a lot of families that are fighting. And there was actually another family in South Africa that's been fighting for cannabis to be brought out to the forefront. And if we, you know, look over, I mean, we are not the only ones experiencing this prohibition of this plant.
Right.
You know, this drug war on this plant. But, you know, things are getting better. More and more people are coming forth and they're talking about how much this has made such a big difference in their life and what this plant has done for them, whether they were eating it, smoking it, making it into tinctures. And so what we're seeing over time is there's just more and more people coming up saying, I've been using this plant for, you know, 50, 60, and 70 years, you know, their whole lives that they've been using this plant.
You know, and there's probably still some people around that have had that in their closet, in their cabinets. They might still have it. Check out your mom's or your grandma's cabinet. Might still be in there.
The medicine cabinet.
Yeah, let's get some old bottles out. Yeah. Let's check it out. I bet it's there. This plant. It's been around for thousands and thousands and millions of gazillions of years. Come on, folks. Bring it back. We're bringing it back.
Bringing it back. For sure.
All right. So come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center. You know, one of the important things is to get registered in the community where you are, where they have programs for you. And you can do so in Tucson, Arizona. You can come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back, comfy and cozy. Come check it out. You can also call 520-838-4430. You can fax us over your medical records at 520-306-5147. Lowest prices in town, guaranteed. We'll fix that. If it's not true, you tell us and we'll fix that. $85 certification, $65 renewal. And if your medical records are old or you can't find them, we offer an additional diagnosis just for $50. $50 bill. That's right, just for $50. Wow. $50 bill. Well, there you have it. Come tell Arizona that you need your card, that this is an important program, that you're supporting medical cannabis for our state and all states around.
Once we start, they start seeing how many people are using this and how much people it's benefiting is really what, and it's a social experiment amongst our Department of Health and seeing how this is actually going to work out and implementing a program for this plant. Keeping it out of the way of children and, you know, with these implementations comes, you know, better safety measures, better education. So ensuring that this can keep on going is, you know, coming, like me and Belle say, coming out of the cannabis closet.
That's right.
And really letting people know, you know, it's your medicine and you should have a choice.
And it's your right.
And yeah, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. If it's making you feel better, then they're just jealous.
Yeah. Check this out. Hemp farmers are waiting for delivery of seeds. A little more than an acre on Wayne Smith's Eastern Star Area Farm is plowed and fertilized, but the highly regulated hemp seeds he requested from the State Department of Agriculture months ago still haven't arrived. I put my order in, and I'm waiting patiently for my seeds to arrive, Smith said Monday. It's going to be late in the growing season compared to what I'd like, but I'm hoping for a good first season. Delayed while the state awaited import permits from the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency for the seeds, which have been illegal to grow without a permit since the 1970s Controlled Substance Act. Some farmers in Tennessee were doubtful for the approval in time to grow a usable crop of industrial hemp this year. Corrine Gould, a spokesperson for the Agricultural Department, said the permits were granted on May 7th, and the farmers who applied to take part in the experimental cultivation project were notified promptly. Of the three in the area who were granted licenses, Smith and Randall Fledford of Unicoi County decided to move ahead. One Pendleton Farms operator near Tri-Cities Regional Airport by Darby Ratcliffe decided not to plant this year. The state is currently placing orders based on the farmer's request and will distribute the seeds once their originating countries, Canada and Australia, approve their export and ship them to the states. For this approximate one-acre field, Smith says he ordered 27.5-pound bag of seeds from the Canada cultivar. The variety of seeds offered to participating farmers this year were more conducive to hemp oil production rather than fiber, Smith said. This year, one of the only specialized seeds of equipment he'll likely buy is an oil press, which used to be compressed seeds enough to force out the contained oil, which can be used in lubricants, paints, inks, fuels, plastics, and be refined to use in soaps, shampoos, detergents, and food products. Otherwise, Smith said, he hopes the seeds can be planted using an ordinary seed drill, though he'll plant by hand if he must, and he's considering a combine that he may be able to modify to cut the stalks at the 4-foot height needed.
How exciting.
Still in the process of learning how the rest of the plant can be used once the seeds are harvested for the oil, Smith said. The remaining material won't go to waste. The stalks he'll consider using for hempcrete, an insulating product that can be used in construction, or may consider selling to a paper manufacturer if the interest is there. If those options aren't viable, he'll cut the stalks and bond them to be later chipped in the mulch. We've gotten this far, so we're going to put some seeds in the ground, and what comes of it, we'll see, he said. The federal 2014 Farm Bill allowed industrial hemp to be grown for research purpose only, provided a state legislature approves the cultivation of the plant, which Tennessee did with Public Act number 916 last year. In exploring the possible applications of industrial hemp and the potential benefits of its cultivation, Tennessee and other states are hoping to introduce a new cash crop to areas hard hit by the economic downturn of the decline in demand for other agricultural products like tobacco. A variety of the cannabis plant, hemp, containing far less of the psychoactive compound found in marijuana, has for decades been collectively stigmatized with its more potent cousin, but recently pushes by advocacy groups to legalize the plant have gained traction. According to VoteHemp.com, an advocacy website, 20 states have defined industrial hemp as distinct from the THC-containing variant and have removed barriers to its cultivation.
Well, so excited to
That's
hear on that
exciting.
Kind of end.
I know.
Because, you know, we keep up with the cannabis world, and this is.
The only reason we stopped growing hemp was because it was cheaper to import it from other countries back way back in the day. They said, all right, fine, we can use other things. We don't need hemp. You paper guys, you cotton guys, all whatever you need, fine, we don't need hemp. They give hemp a bad name. So we're bringing it back, folks. Bring it back to hemp. And it's way better. What better for the earth, better for us, better for all of it.
Well, one thing that I did here at the conference was they said they were planting the plants in Fukushima to pick up the radiation.
Left over.
From this, yeah, the explosion.
Yeah.
The meltdown.
The meltdown. Check this out. Marijuana trimmers can move into jobs that make $90,000. Want to make 100 grand a year trimming plants, folks? Here we go.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I hate pop-ups. Not feeling the unpaid internship? There's an alternative in states like Colorado. Marijuana bud trimmers can make a starting salary of $12 to $15 an hour, the Associated Press reports. That's about right. Successful employees might eventually become gardeners or concentrate makers and take home as much as $90,000 a year.
Gardeners, concentrate makers. Kind of like that.
The work entails trimming away the leaves from the marijuana plant and needs to be done by hand using small scissors. People think it's a job for stoners, but it's not. According to a 32-year-old Brittany Houghton, whose family owns a dispensary in Colorado, it's a real job, she told the AP. It's 9 to 5. You have to be on time. You don't have to be a smoker. And the quality of the work is important. Most swing state voters back legal weed. Most voters in swing states support legalizing small amounts of marijuana. Did you know that? For personal use. According to the new Quinnipiac poll, Quinnipiac poll, voters approved of legal weed in the key states of Florida, 55%, Ohio, 52%, Pennsylvania, 51%, that they surveyed. Medical marijuana enjoyed overwhelming support in those states with more than 80% in favor of marijuana.
Great. Well, that's right on target.
All sorts of good stuff here. So, yeah, check it out. Go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and find out more information. You can listen to our past radio shows if you feel so inclined. You can download them, send them to your friends. Check it out. Information is good. Education is great. It's what we do here.
Pass it on. There's always something new on the Tumbleweeds website.
And also, one of our supporters, you can check this out too, azmarijuana.com, who we love. They're excellent in
providing you with up-to-date information about cannabis and Arizona.
Dispensaries and doctors and services and products and videos and laws and news.
Nice.
Yeah, they've got a great little website, azmarijuana.com, and that's where we get some of our news sources. Check this out. Oh, and we were reading, did we even finish that, the 2016 presidential...
No, we had two more left.
We only had two?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought we had a lot more than that.
No.
We're good. So we went here. Did we do Hillary?
Yeah, we did all of them. Yeah.
Did Ted Cruz?
We had these two left right now.
Carly?
Carly and...
No,
we did Carly.
Remember the last name.
Mike
Huckabee?
No, we did Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
Marco Rubio and Bernie Sanders.
Marco Rubio.
Those two are the last ones.
Those two?
Yeah.
All right. We can get him in here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Marco Rubio, Republican. Here's how this person stands on marijuana. U.S. Senator and former Speaker of the Florida House of Representatives opposes legalization and decriminalization. We live in a country that already has problems with substance abuse. I think we read this one, but that's right. We already see the impact that alcoholism is having on families, on drunk driving, and all sorts of things. And now we're going to add one more substance that people can use. Well, first of all, this guy is clearly uneducated because you can't bump alcohol into any category of marijuana because
it's medicinal.
Our government didn't even put alcohol or nicotine in any of these categories, so don't you go put them in there, Bubba. He added, when something is legal, implicitly what you're saying is it can't be all that bad because it's legal. The bottom line is I believe that adding yet another mind-altering substance to something that's legal is not good for the country. All right, well, there you have it.
Well, there we go. Bernie Sanders, Democrat Independent, the U.S. Senator and former House member of Vermont, who has also served as a major mayor of Burlington and is an independent who caucused with the Democrats. He is running for the Democratic presidential nomination. Sanders has co-sponsored and voted in favor of the incremental marijuana reform and on the numbers of occasions, but hasn't explicitly endorsed full legalization. For example, as a member of the House member, Sanders repeatedly voted in favor of the amendment to prevent the Democratic of Justice from spending the money to interfere with state medical marijuana laws. He has also co-sponsored the state's right to Medical Marijuana Act and bill and to reschedule cannabis and provide greater protections for medical patients. During the last congressional session, Sanders co-sponsored the state legalization to legalize industrial hemp, but has not yet signed on this year's version of the bill. So if you want to hear more, that will be,
that's on Temple Leaf's
website. Yeah.
That's good. So there's some, you know, you gotta do some reading. These presidential nominees are a little frightening to me. I gotta do some more reading and research. This is scary.
Yeah.
We gotta get that book of who's running and find out what the heck's going on. Our country needs you guys. We need you out there. We need you to vote. We need you to get involved. We need you to participate. We need you to listen. Open your mind.
What worries me is all these
write
different
letters.
These nominees have different stances on cannabis, but some of their stances are, it's like they've spread out everything that people want for cannabis and what people want for everything, and they give everyone a topic, and they all get to have that. And they either are for it or against it, and then there's different divisions of that part of the bills, of the laws, of the legalization that they all get and that they're for and they're against. And then there's things that they're for and against the other things. So when you look at a president nominee, you're like, I kind of like them, but I don't like them. But I like that. It's like,
what do you like? You know what we like?
We like Tumbleweed Tell Center.
com. And we like you guys. We love you guys. Thank you for joining Weedsday Wednesday. It's always a pleasure.
Yes. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you next Wednesday.
We will see you next Wednesday. Get involved, folks. Get out there and get your cards, get certified, come on down to Tumbleweeds, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. You can call us at 520-838-4430. You can email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, tweet with us on Twitter, all sorts of fun stuff. We're out there. We're LinkedIn.
Instagram.
You can pin us on something somewhere on your Pinterest thing. Just get out there and find us, folks. We love you. We love chatting with you. Thanks for tuning in every week from all over the world. You know who you are. Wink, wink. And remember, as always,
be smart,
be safe, and educate. Happy Weedsday, folks.